Welcome in to the Pick a Side podcast, a special tournament edition. First round selections breakdown of all 32 games.
Love it.
True sickos. This is true sicko behavior.
We're going to be here a while.
It's not going to be that long.
Oh, we're going to be here a while.
I think we can fly through some of these.
All right.
Do you want to do first four? I do not have plays on the first four games.
The one play that I have, I like the under tonight in San Diego State and North Carolina, sitting at 142.5. You look at the pace that San Diego State plays with, and then on top of that, you've got a Carolina team that who knows what we're going to see out of them. And there's flight problems now with them getting to Dayton too, so all of a sudden – this whole thing could be a mess for Carolina, but I like the under 142.5.
Carolina's been good lately, though, man.
They have been.
It's against no one. It's the dregs of the ACC. But, like, people talking about, well, they got in, but they're not going to do any damage. I'm not sure about
that. You know what? I mentioned the flight issues. I feel like the flight issue team, whenever you hear about, oh, this team had trouble getting in, usually does well.
Yeah, keep in mind the 11 seed play-in teams historically, if you win that game, bodes well for at least the first weekend. And UCLA a few years ago, Final Four run,
yeah,
where they were a buzzer beater away from going to the national title game against Gonzaga,
yep,
an all-time Gonzaga game.
Yep, I believe VCU under Shaka made a little run. Syracuse made a run once upon a time.
All right, listen, I was leaving that one out. Because that wasn't the team, was it?
No, that wasn't that team. It was a 2018 tournament. Sweet 16 run. It wasn't that team. Don't worry.
I'm getting my years mixed up. I think 2018 was.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Actually, no. It was that year. Never mind. I'm thinking about Final Fours. I'm thinking about other things here. But yeah.
We're all over the place this morning as we are bracket-brained going through all of it. If you're hearing this on Chicago's College Tailgate, it's a one-off. Please remember, you can find us now exclusively, Pick a Side Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, the great Eric Ostrowski sitting in with us today has reminded me to tell everybody there is a video format available as well on YouTube. Go and find that. I'm sure he'll do a wonderful job of putting a lower third up for me in post-production because I don't know the link to give you off the top of my head right now. Like I said, bracket brained. All right, on to the first round.
Let's do it.
Let's start Thursday.
All right.
First game out of the shoot. Can I just start with a personal thing?
You got personal questions?
What the fuck's the committee doing making me wait for the final fucking tip-off of the first round? That's horrible.
No, actually, I'll pivot from you here. I think having the last tip-off is the best. It's like having your NFL team play Sunday night football. You get to digest the day, and then you get to lock into your team. It's the best tip time to have for your own personal team.
It's so much time for nerves to build.
Okay.
Thankfully, they gave us Bryant.
You're playing a 2-15 matchup. If you've got nerves for this, you're not built for March right now, my friend.
Listen, and we've been having conversations with Potsy about, he's like, well, this is March, man. Nothing's guaranteed. I'm not doing any of that scared shit. That stuff's nonsense. If this team can't get out of the first weekend, Izzo, retire. If you can't, they handed him a gift. Bryant and then Marquette or New Mexico. If you can't get to the Sweet 16 with this team, retire. We're done here.
Yeah.
I'm not playing the scared game.
No.
All right, let's get started. First out of the shoot, Creighton, Louisville in Lexington.
Could the tournament start with a more electric matchup than this?
This is perfect.
This is, I think, the best and most intriguing first round game.
I think it's going to be a split crowd. I think Creighton fans will travel a little bit. It's not that far from Omaha to get to Lexington. They could make it happen. Now, way closer for Louisville people. It's like, 2 hours?
You got to remember, too, just how when you have kind of in-state like that, how the ticket prices all of a sudden go through the roof.
That's true. But, I mean, it's first-round matchup. We'll see. The thing is, 8-9, these are typically electric and some of the most well-attended games in the first round. I think just off the top, Louisville, a 2.5-point favorite, got fucked.
I would say the same thing about Creighton, too.
I agree. But, like, both these teams, it feels like, are underseeded. I think it's worse for Louisville than it is for Creighton.
Well, the perfect note off of that is, so Louisville finished the season 13th in the AP poll. These are the seeds of the last few number 13 team in the country in the final AP poll. 3-4-4-3-3-3-4-5-3-5-3-3. This team's an 8.
Yeah. It's
like, what the hell is that?
It's insane. Look, if you're looking for an electric matchup where you're going to see a lot of shooting and maybe a light show, this is it. Like, if I'm looking at anything pregame, it might be an over. You've got two teams that just shoot the shit out of the ball. Yeah. One problem, Louisville doesn't really make them. They're top 20 in three-point attempt rate. They're bottom 150 in three-point make rate. Creighton's way more efficient. And I think that's where Louisville might be in some trouble here. I don't want to take the 2.5, but I think the only thing I can say about this game right now is if I can get a good live number on Creighton, like north of 6, I will fire it.
I'm actually on the other side of this game. I like this Louisville team a lot, and it's part of it is because of the underseeding here. I think this team is perfectly set up to actually go on a little bit of a run. I like the 2.5 with Louisville. I think they're going to have a heavy home crowd in this game. They won 11 straight games to end the year before the ACC championship.
True.
They were one of the hottest teams in the country to close it out, and they've kind of put all of their pieces together. They're also getting a little bit healthier, too. I like this Louisville team a lot. I think they can make a run to the Sweet 16, maybe even beyond.
I want to throw a stat at you. I want to know what you think of it. Okay. Creighton, number one in free throw rate, meaning they are the best team. No, defensive free throw rate, excuse me.
So they don't
fall. The single best team in America, limiting your trips to the stripe. Free throws in March are everything. They are make or break. And if you don't get opportunities to shoot them, that can kill you.
They are, yeah, it's a legitimate form of currency.
That's a part of why I kind of like the Creighton side. And I could be walking into something. I'm getting a red hot Louisville team that is underseeded. My question for you, how much of that stat is luck? How much of that is getting officials that'll swallow whistles?
I would say it's actually more conference predicated. Because usually you get the same guys within the same conference for the most part. So I would say it's more of a conference thing. And that to me actually would scare me a little bit more with Creighton. Because now it's part of why I think you see a lot of Big Ten teams struggle when they get to the tournament. Because they try to bring their physical brand
yep.
to the tournament. And then they end up bowing out early because guys get in foul trouble. I just think that, yeah, if you bring that. And especially when you've got a guy like Ryan Kalkbrenner, 7 foot plus, who probably gets away with some fouls at times. I hate it with centers. So Kalkbrenner is probably one of the perfect examples of this. Of he's one of those guys who maybe didn't get called for a lot of fouls in the regular season, but then he's going to get really frustrated when he gets too early in the tournament.
I have to tell you something. You're talking me into Creighton even more. You just fired the logic I used for Purdue last year when I said Edie gets no calls in the Big Ten, and he's going to get fouls in the tournament.
Well, I'm saying from a defensive standpoint.
Yeah, no, I get it. But I was just, it's almost the same logic. Kalkbrenner, how many years is this guy going to play? I feel like it's year 15 of Ryan Kalkbrenner.
I love him.
I texted a buddy. One of the things, like a theme here, you'll see, I'm not going to do what I did in college football in the NFL and give you a bunch of public, non-public stuff mm-hmm. because I don't value it. Yeah. I was texting a buddy yesterday and I said, Creighton, it feels like a terrible draw to me for Louisville. You get year 10 Kalkbrenner. And my buddy goes, he's still there. And it was one of those reality check moments of like, if you're looking at public betting data, you need to remember people don't watch college basketball. Yeah. Freaks like us do. But then it gets to this time of year and everybody wants to dive in and make a bet. People don't know what they're betting on.
You also get year 15 Chucky Hepburn on the other side for Louisville.
When we get to Gonzaga, how many fifth year players can a team have?
Yeah.
All right, you ready? We good?
Yep.
I lean Creighton, but I'd look for a better number. You're all in on the birds.
I like cards.
Purdue High Point. Second game out of the shoot. High Point, an 8-point dog. This one, you got to talk me out of something.
Okay.
The line opened at 10. Now, this is where line movement's important because it's not drunk guys at the Wingate that are moving the lines.
Right.
It's people who know what the fuck they're doing. Line opened at 10, got bet down to 7.5, and has settled in at 8. Both of these teams are top 15 in effective field goal percentage, meaning they hit their threes, they hit their twos, they hit their free throws. High Point runs 10 players deep. They hit their threes. They have a seven-footer. They can bring him off the bench, contend a little bit with Purdue's size. They're going to press. They're top 10 in steal rate. They will turn you over. They have every checkmark, green light for an upset profile team. Wait, that
High Point
I look
defensively?
At. Are they not top 10 in steal rate?
No.
Or are they top 10 in steals against?
They're,
did I just read my notes?
Yes. They're top 10 offensively in steal rate. Yeah. Defensively, fine. They're atrocious.
That actually may have been what I needed to hear. Okay. Because I'm looking at top 10. Turnovers against is fine. Turnovers for, if you're looking for long-seeded teams, yeah, I'm more into turnovers for. If I flipped the way I looked at this when I did my notes, that's on me. I still value people seem to be all for over sure. High Point. It's yeah. a sexy pick. That can be scary because you could just look like a fool. But I do kind of like High Point in the game.
Really?
Team that'll go out and hit threes.
The thing is on the other side too, Purdue is also that team.
And yeah, and Braden Smith.
I trust the guards on Purdue. This team was in the national championship. Like, I trust the body of this Purdue team. I get there's no Zach Edey there, and that's fine. I think it lets some of the other guys play their own game. And listen, Matt Painter's done it. I know he's got the tag of a choke artist, but I think he kind of shed that tag after last season. I trust this backcourt for Purdue enough to get out of this. I think this is one of those trendy upset picks that I'm not fully bought into because, yes, High Point is an electric offense. They're a top 25 offense in the entire nation.
Would you take 8? Or would you, because forget win outright.
I think that the Purdue, what their offense is going to be able to do to High Point's defense, I'm more likely to see Purdue reel off a kill shot in this game than High Point. And for those who aren't familiar with that, with what that is,
best stat in basketball.
It is. It is how many 10-0 runs do you get offensively versus how many you surrender defensively. And I just look at High Point, I believe, is a very high caliber 10-0 run team, but I think this Purdue defense has enough to stand up to that. Whereas on the other side for High Point, I don't know if you have that. There probably won't be a kill shot in this game. And I think if that's the case, advantage Purdue.
If there's not a kill shot though, I'm not laying 8. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I'm staying away from the game. I'm not betting the game.
You've talked me out of it. I will stay away. If you want to get freaky in your bracket pools or whatever, that's a different thing. Go ahead and take High Point if you feel frisky. Wisconsin and Montana, I got nothing. Wisconsin's laying 17.5. We both think, I know that they got screwed because their likeliest opponent after this game is BYU, and they're playing the games in Denver. That's two altitude teams. Well, you're playing at altitude on a shorter rest than everyone else because you played on Sunday. But I can't. If anything, I'd probably have to lay the 17.5 because Tanjay, I think, could cover it on his own. But
yeah,
I just, in March, you're laying close to 20 points. You got to be out of your mind.
Yeah. In with spreads like that in the tournament, I only go with the dog. I'm not touching it though in this case. By the way, do you know the stat too? The luckiest KenPom team has been bounced out of the first round of the tournament in 18 of the last 21 tournaments. Yep. This year, it's Montana.
Yep.
So I have no problem. I think Wisconsin handles Montana with ease. The Denver thing worries me a little bit with them, but actually, I think their second round matchup will not be BYU. Which I think they'll handle a little bit better, so
we'll get to that in a little bit. Yep. Also, the Denver thing worries me with another team that we'll get to in a little bit that's also playing on Thursday.
4 of the 8 teams that are in Denver played on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's a reminder that this is a made-for-TV event.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can tell when they put some of this together. Creighton-Louisville, they're drooling over the idea of putting that game on TV in Lexington.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
SIU Houston. Houston's laying 29.5.
I don't think I've ever played a 116 game.
You got to be out of your fucking mind.
Yeah. Especially this, like, I know people are all into the 215s and even 116s now, but you can't touch them anymore. Like, I don't think this is a good year to get involved with any of them.
I just think
the top really 12 teams in the tournament are too damn good.
Yep.
Too damn good for the most part.
It's one of the better years at the top of the bracket that I've ever seen. The top 4 seed lines to me are the 4-13s get a little interesting, but for the most part, the top four seed lines are incredibly safe.
Well, and the one seeds too, like any of them had a case to be the number one overall seed in this tournament. And I would say in most years, a lot of the two seeds in this tournament would be one seeds.
There is one 3 seed I think could be in trouble.
I have one 3 seed I think could be in trouble too.
I wonder if it's the
same. You want to say it on three?
You count.
One, two, three.
Kentucky.
Iowa State.
Oh. I'm not there with Iowa State. The Gilbert thing beyond first round, we'll get to it. Okay. Kentucky, Troy profiles really nicely.
They do. My one thing is I think that regionally, Kentucky got a pretty good draw because I'll hand it to Big Blue Nation. Like, they are a pain in the ass as a fan base. Nobody travels better than them in all of college basketball. And for them to go to Milwaukee, I think that's a pretty easy zip for them.
It's mattered a lot in the past.
It's true. But no, I feel like this Kentucky fan base is really rejuvenated around their team. Like, remember when we went to Champions Classic here?
Yeah.
I went into that event thinking Kentucky's by far and away going to be the least attended fan base here. It was Duke, Michigan State, Kansas, Kentucky. Kentucky may have been the most attended.
Well, by the end of
floored by.
By the end of the season, they wanted Cal dead. And then Mark Pope comes in this year and does the job that he's done. And I think there is a level of embracing it again.
Yeah.
It just, once again, made for TV event. We'll get to Kentucky and Yale. That feels like they intentionally put Kentucky in a dangerous spot just because we've seen it so often. Continuing chronologically, first round, McNeese and Clemson. This is a very fascinating game.
Mm-hmm.
You get the dreaded 5-12 matchup, which I think could be making a stellar return.
I'm with you.
A lot of early McNeese action. They're pretty public. Line stuck at 7.5, so nothing to take away there. But this is a team, they've got tournament pedigree. Yep. They are a pain in the ass. Heavy press defense, 28th in D1 experience. They turn you over like it's their job. Clemson coming in, one of their role players, Dylan Hunter, broke his hand. He might not be available. I would say he's not available. He's out indefinitely. Rotations get shorter this time of year anyway, so I don't know how much it impacts them.
Well, I mean, Chase Hunter is their second highest usage player. So
Dylan Hunter.
Is it Dylan Hunter?
Pretty sure it's Dylan Hunter with the broken hand. Chase Hunter, I believe, is healthy.
Gotcha. Okay, let me double check that, but yeah.
Please, because I thought it was Chase Hunter throughout the weekend. I kept seeing Hunter hurt for Clemson. I'm like, oh, they're fucked. They're dead. But then I looked it up, and I looked into the announcement, and I'm pretty sure it's Dylan Hunter, broken hand.
Yep, you're right. Dylan Hunter. All right.
You're talking about the 7th, 8th guy on their team, which that's not nothing. That means you've got your top 6 guys that are probably all going to have to go 35-plus minutes against a press-heavy team that's experienced, that gets turnovers, that makes shots, that's been on this stage. It's McNeese plus 7.5 or nothing.
I like McNeese because, like you mentioned that, like McNeese, I think, might have trouble with some of Clemson's bigs. Like Ian Sheflin, I think, could have a day. There's certain bigs in this tournament that I think could have really good days, and maybe I would look at some props for their overs. Ian Sheflin's one of them. But here's where McNeese can make up for it. Their guards are big and physical. Like, Kadir Copeland is one of the most underrated guards, a guy who could really make a name for himself in March. And I always look for the rabbit's foot candidates for the tournament. Is there any bigger one than McNeese State right now? With their manager, Amir Khan, boombox, walking the team out. The manager of the team has signed 3 NIL deals. Like,
it's unbelievable.
Does it get any more rabbit's foot than that?
No.
I really like this McNeese team. I think they can make a run. Top 70 KenPom offense and defense,
too. It's such a galaxy brain dumb thing, like fan brain idiot moment to be like, well, Loyola had Sister Jean and they just rode the wave. But there is that, like, if you have the good luck charm, I just feel better about you entering this event.
No analytics behind it, just vibes.
There's a couple of spots here that we're going to get to shortly where I don't really have analytics behind, but I feel very strongly about the game. And they're almost spite bets because I've been so angry at certain teams all season.
Surprise, surprise.
But listen, man, in March, a lot of times you can throw the analytics out the window.
Yeah.
And I know it better than anybody. I've seen Middle Tennessee State knock me out, one of the best teams we ever had. So it the analytics, a lot of the time, these games come down to final possessions, intentional fouls. If you're talking about the point spreads, it could be a meaningless fucking three from half court that just goes in and fucks you for no reason. So the margins are so small that a lot of the analytic stuff, it matters, but you don't have to take it as gospel.
Right.
All right, I'm going to let you take the lead on this because you feel much stronger about it than I do. It is a top 10 game I want to watch. It is not a game I want to bet.
Okay.
VCU getting 3.5 against BYU.
All right. I really like VCU in this game. I get it's going to be up in Denver and altitude and both these – and VCU played on Sunday. But what I look at when I see this matchup is I think VCU's defense is going to be the thing that carries this. They're the number one effective field goal percentage defense in the country, going up against the number seven effective field goal offense in the country. And when I get to March and I see matchups like this, I usually see the trend be the defense traveled, the offense got a little stiff. And not to say that BYU can't be fantastic and make a little bit of a run here, I just think they ran into one of the worst possible teams they could have in this tournament. The A-10 champion VCU finished the season strong. I just think defensively, they are the perfect foil for what BYU wants to do. I think they outright win the game. I'm going to take them with the +3.5 because of things like you said, where stuff can get weird at the end.
Yep.
But I feel very strongly about VCU in this game.
Here's my I like both teams. Everything you've said about VCU is right. BYU, their conference tournament performance, and really their performance down the stretch of the season,
well,
they housed Kansas, and they went up against Iowa State, and like every fucking shot they put up went in.
I will say this about their end of season stretch. I do feel like there is a hint of fraudulence to it. Like, don't get me wrong, they won 9 games, including the one against Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament to close out the year. But if you look at the teams, they played a lot of the bottom feeders of the conference. And then when they did play legitimate competition, like Kansas, that Kansas team was dead team walking.
Oh, yeah.
The Arizona game, they should not have won that game based on the foul that was called at the end of the game. I'll give them credit for Iowa State. That was a double overtime victory on the road. And then they beat Iowa State again. Again, it's a hobbled Iowa State team down the stretch there too in the conference tournament. But they got housed by Houston. And I think Houston profiles closer to what VCU is as a team, more so than what any of those Big 12 teams were down the stretch.
It's fair, man. I look at a guard-heavy team that's going to shoot a ton of threes and make a ton of threes. It's why I can't get involved, because there's a world where BYU hits their shots and VCU just goes the fuck home. And there's also a world where this comes down to VCU intentional fouls at the end and you're holding +3.5, or you're laying 3.5 in a game that comes down to a BYU three at the buzzer. Or there's, if you're laying 3.5 and you win by 3, there is no worse feeling in this tournament.
Yeah.
And it's just, I'm good on the game. I'm very excited to watch it. I think it's an awesome matchup.
Any in terms of like the non-number stuff, anything to the Richie Saunders, who's one of the better players for BYU, anything to his grandpa invented the tater tot?
No.
Being a factor in the tournament?
I heard that, and I just could not believe it was like a fun fact that was levied on the broadcast. I was like, incredible, I don't, who needs, do you like tater tots? Was the next line. And they're like, you know, they're okay. I'm like, the fuck are we doing here? There's a basketball game on. Don't get me started on the broadcast, because I'll tell you another one. Bardo on the Big Ten championship or the Big Ten tournament. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? I mean, my God.
Declaring scout team All-Americans for some guys.
It'll surprise people that Michigan State's a good defensive team this year, for as much as we talk about their offensive efficiency. Actually, Bardo, the exact fucking opposite is true. Everybody's maligned their offensive ability and touted their defense. And then just out of nowhere, he's like, what's your favorite playoff in professional sports? And I'm like, where's he going with this? They're like, you mean like all sports? Can I say the tournament? No, professional sports. I like hockey. Hockey's the best for me. And then the conversation just ended, and there was a game happening in front of them.
Big Ten tournament game.
I'm so glad we're back to the Turner broadcasts, man. I want Raph. I want the Turner crews. Enough with Big Ten Network. My God.
You're preaching to the choir right now.
Georgia.
I'm happy, too, though, that Robbie Hummel's a part of the mix this year.
Oh, absolutely. Robbie Hummel's fantastic.
Robbie Hummel, I think, is the best analyst, regardless of sport right now.
All right, moving on. Apologies for the non sequitur. Georgia plus 5.5 against Gonzaga. You have to stop me from a blind fire.
Okay.
Georgia's overseeded. They got the SEC bump. I think that's true metrically. I think it's true in their seed line. I think they drew a fucking horrible matchup. Gonzaga, I don't totally buy, but they are top 10 KenPom. They are top 10 net. I don't get how it's happened because watching them is not impressive, but there is no fucking way Mark Few goes home in the round of 64. I'm not talking about a money line, though. I'm talking about 5.5 points. Zags, other thing you got to give them, 10th highest experience ranking in Division One. You still got Graham Ike. You still got Ryan Nemhard. You senior guards everywhere. Yeah. How does Georgia stay in this game?
I don't know. Like, I'm not going to play it, but my lean would definitely be the Zags.
Gonzaga minus 5.5 is one of my favorite plays, I think, of the whole weekend. I'm just going to fire it. Yeah. And if you lose, you tip your cap to the SEC. Everybody was right. It's the greatest conference in the history of the sport, and you move on.
I think the bottom of this conference of the SEC is in for a very rude awakening on Friday and Thursday. First 2 days of the tournament, I think we could see a lot of the, like, Mississippi State's, Georgia's, Oklahoma's just all get fired out of the tournament.
Wofford plus 18.5 against Tennessee in the 15-2. It's nothing. Wofford or pass, though, right? Like, if we had to offer a play.
They're one of the, like, worst teams in this tournament and probably should be, like, actually a 16. Not that it truly matters. You're talking on margin here. I would actually play Tennessee just because I feel like Tennessee in these types of matchups just handles teams.
My thing is, if Tennessee's up 24 with 3.5 minutes to go and empties the bench, and then you're sweating these Wofford tryhard kids who are hot at the right time and had to win their conference tournament in an upset fashion just to get in, and you're sweating 18.5 points.
Yeah, I mean, I'm staying away from the game. There's no play for me.
Agree. The double-digit stuff, I'm good on almost every... I don't think I have a double-digit spread play anywhere.
I have one.
Actually, I do have one. I like one. Arkansas plus 4.5. I'm going to change this. Arkansas plus 4.5 versus Kansas. This is my analytics don't matter bet. This is my fuck you bet.
Oh, wow.
And I'd like – it's tough because I hate both teams. I hate both coaches. Kansas hates the sport of basketball. Every time I watch them, I feel like they don't enjoy this. They don't want to do it anymore. They're over the grind. I think Self's too married to KJ Adams and to Hunter Dickinson. I don't think there's a switch that they can flip. I just feel like they actively hate playing the sport of basketball for money. And I can say for money because it's the most expensive roster in America.
Thing is, I think you could say the same thing about the other team because they're the second most expensive roster in America. And I think they've got a less fearless leader at the helm.
Cal.
If you're giving me Coach Cal versus Bill Self, like, you know what's funny is one of my buddies asked me a question over the weekend. Would you rather be known as a coach for X's and O's or relationship? And I said, well, you just asked me, would I rather be Bill Self or would I rather be John Calipari? Coincidentally, they end up meeting each other in the tournament.
So is this just to stay away and hope the floor collapses like Bane shows up in the Dark Knight?
Well, if you're talking about like selfish rooting, I actually want to see Cal and Arkansas get through just so Rick Pitino can blast this dude to Saturn's rings. Like the amount of vitriol between those two, I want to see.
The Louisville Kentucky rivalry.
But if I really had to bet it with my head, I'd probably go with Kansas just because we've seen flashes of brilliance with Kansas over the course of the season. We have not really seen that with Arkansas.
How much does the preseason pedigree stuff matter to you? The Bayesian, whatever the fuck is being peddled around on Twitter.
Uh-huh. It means not every or not a ton to me, but I think there is a little bit of something when you've got a matchup like this where it's like one of these rosters has been to Final Fours, has been to and won national championships. Like some of that stuff does matter to me. It's not the end of the world, but if I had to lean, I would go Kansas. I trust the guards there way more. You've got some younger guys on that Arkansas team, some guys who transferred in. I mean, it's like Kentucky and the Island of Misfits right now. Like Cal's old Kentucky guys.
Yeah.
And whereas like this Kansas team, there's some continuity there.
I just wonder how much self hurts himself by staying with KJ and Hunter if this game gets into a crunch time situation.
KJ's the guy I think could flip it on. Hunter's got no dog.
I probably will bet Arkansas plus 4.5, but my official statement to the people, that is fully a spite bet. It don't feel like you need to tell
it. Bet against who?
Against Kansas. Dude, how many times this season have I bought in? Have I tried? And you know I've tried. Mm-hmm. There were Shayhawks games. There were fucking at home against Houston.
We went to Kincaid's with Posse.
I will never fucking forgive them for at home against Houston.
Tried to get Zetterman's kids into the bar one time.
What? They're up 7 with 13 seconds to go and shooting free throws, and they lose the game.
It's one of the worst collapses I've ever seen.
No, dude. Like I'm done with Kansas. I'm out. I'm fully spite bet Arkansas. Kansas. Yale plus 7.5 against Texas A&M. You have to help me out. A&M's your darling. Mm-hmm. Yale, I would love to play here, but they're a little too sexy. Like, everybody's bought in because they aced someone out last year. They've made the run. They've got the experience. But then you start to dig into it, and you go, it's really not just the metric, it's not just the darling stuff and the big brain. They've done it before. They can do it again. It's A&M has lost 5 of their final 7. They are falling apart. And Yale is good at everything A&M is bad at. It's like a unique, weird matchup where maybe Yale really can pull this off. Great perimeter team. If they're hitting their shots, A&M might just not have the firepower. Stop me from taking Yale plus 7.5 against your boys.
Here's why I would take A&M, and it gets into the kill shot thing too. And Evan Miyakawa, who does a great job with that stuff, is the one who has laid it out. Like, when you get into the tournament, rely more so on defensive kill shots versus offensive kill shots. So preventing 10-0 runs from coming to you versus actually achieving them yourself.
Yeah.
These two teams are actually, like, A&M is an extremely balanced kill shot team. Like, they're one of the best in terms of preventing them and one of the best actually in terms of getting them themselves, whereas Yale, they do get them, or they do allow some of them, but not many, but they get a lot of them. I trust the A&M defense in this game. And another reason why I still like A&M, I wouldn't bet the game per se, but I do like A&M because they're the number one offensive rebounding team. And I get that Yale's defensive rebounding metrics are pretty good. They're top 25 in the country. But there's a difference between doing it in the Ivy League versus this year in the SEC in particular. I think this A&M team might be one of the best rebounding teams I've really seen. Like, they are like a traditional North Carolina level offensive rebounding team where they're just going to pound the glass every single possession. And even though their shooting numbers aren't great, when you keep getting extra possession after extra possession after extra possession, you're going to end up winning a lot of games in March.
Well, it's a styles make fights thing too, where A&M's going to be physical. They're going to crash the glass. They'll do all the things to limit Yale, and Yale will want to get out and run. They'll want to cause some havoc. They'll want to hit some threes. They're two diametrically opposed teams. A&M's just way more talented. I would only take Yale. I can't get there with you with the Aggies, but I will stay away.
Yeah, I'm staying away from the game as a whole, but I do think A&M wins outright.
There you go. You get both sides of the coin. Where else are you getting both sides of the coin? That's why we call it pick a side. Drake plus 6.5 against Mizzou. Tell me Drake isn't too easy.
I think people are really sleeping on Mizzou's offense.
Man, we are going to be opposite on everything today, aren't we?
I'm not taking a bet on the game.
I'm going to just start fighting you.
You want to just a fisticuffs yeah. here?
For like, I'm just going to
fucking a wrestling match final 10
minutes. I
mean, Eric,
everything I throw out, he's like, eh, I kind of feel the other way. I'm just going to start fucking fighting you. We need to have an agreement.
We'll rock 'em, sock 'em here. But this Mizzou offense is fifth in the country. Like I know people think of Mizzou as like an offensively inclined team, especially with some of the results that they have, but I don't think people realize just how good offensively they are. And when you're that good offensively, like Mizzou is, and still balanced enough defensively, I think that this is a game Drake very well could cover a spread. 6.5. You're talking about two teams that are very potent offensively. But I think Mizzou's good enough to win the game outright and because of their offense.
I kind of feel like Drake could win. You've got D2 tryhards that all just go fucking crazy. They'll press you. They'll turn you over. They'll slog everything down. They're one of the slower teams in the country, which if that works, like if they're able to slow the tempo down, Mizzou limits the possessions for the top five offense. That kind of limits the damage that they can do. Drake's awesome on the offensive glass. That can limit Mizzou's possessions. Now, difference playing an SEC team versus playing an MVC team.
And I would say this, when the D2 tryhards get to March Madness,
lights get a little bright.
It's a different animal. Like you're talking about, just think about the process. Like you have a shoot around that is open to the public. You are doing interview after interview after interview, like just the media preparation of it all too. I don't think they're used to that. And I think on the flip side here, you've got a Mizzou team that's lived in the SEC. You've got guys that have been in tournaments here. Like, this is not going to be some sort of bright lights type of situation for them. I think that they're going to be a little more prepared for the moment than Drake is.
I think it's Drake or pass. Tyler thinks it's Mizzou or pass, sounds like.
Anything to the, this is just the year of Kendrick Lamar versus Drake. And Drake just cannot get a W.
No, I heard Waddle say something like that. And no, I don't think there's. Although, now that I'm thinking about it, Omaha against St. John's. St. John's laying 18.5. Couldn't get me to lay it. No. But I will ask you a question, genuinely. Can Omaha score 19 points?
I think they should get to bang the trash can in the locker room after if they get to 30.
I would be stunned. And I think St. John's the 2 seed in the most danger, to be honest, just because they're so limited on the offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same reason why like a team like Virginia was always susceptible.
Yep, you play slow, you play just all defense, you're always going to be in the danger zone. But against Omaha, I don't really have any worry.
Well, and I think it's Patino, man.
Yeah, right? Oh, 100%.
He's the best coach in this tournament right now.
The one, not to get ahead of ourselves, the one team that scares me in St. John's bracket is Texas Tech.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
All right, my favorite play.
Oh, okay.
And people are going to say, oh, of course it is fucking Sparty. UC San Diego against Michigan. UC San Diego's getting 2.5. I said there are matchups that you feel like are made for TV. This is one of them. This is one where, look, guys, I will not acknowledge that Michigan got absolutely railed. It's one of the worst screw jobs I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. To be as good as they were in the Big Ten regular season and then to go into the Big Ten tournament and win 3 straight quad one games and put a banner up and get told that you're the 5 seed in this fucking region with Michigan State, with A&M, with Iowa State pre-Gilbert knowledge, with Auburn. Come on.
Yeah.
And then they hand you the highest rated 12 seed that we have seen maybe ever.
Yeah. I mean, the KenPom disparity between these two teams is 11 spots.
Yeah.
It's a 5-12.
Yeah. You know, since your February 15th thing that you brought up, UCSD is top 25 in Torvik since February 15th.
Yeah.
In America, Michigan, 40 fucking third. I think this is brutal. And it's not just like, oh, well, UCSD's really good and Michigan got hosed, they're underseeded. If you built a low major team in a lab to beat Michigan, you would come out of that with UCSD. Yes. You have a 15-game win streak, a 30-game low major winner. They're top 5 in both turnovers for and turnovers against. They shoot 37% from 3. Yes, they will get beat inside. If Wolf and Golden aren't turning the ball over, Michigan will win. one problem. All Wolf and Golden have done all year is turn the ball over because they don't have a guard who will initiate the offense.
Yeah.
They're too turnover prone. They're too bad at the stripe. I can't do it.
Well, and the other part, too, is this is a stat that you and I love because it is the most useless stat in all of basketball. Free throw defense,
yep.
Which is not a real thing.
Nope.
UCSD, 330th in free throw defense. Their fans aren't waving their arms enough behind the basket.
The idea with free throw defense, eventually everybody will meet in the middle.
Yes.
Like
it's a luck factor thing.
If everybody shoots 80-ish percent, which they don't in college, if everybody shoots 73% at the free throw line, eventually, if you played a billion games, everybody would have a 73% free throw percentage against.
75% against San Diego this year. Michigan is not a good free throw shooting team.
And right.
It's largely because of those two guys that you brought up there. Vlad Golden and Danny Wolf are prime culprits of it.
Well, and it's not like you look at it and go, oh, well, Michigan's going to have to shoot free throws poorly because UCSD's been hosed all year at the free throw line. No, Michigan's going to shoot free throws poorly because they suck at them.
Yeah.
UCSD +2.5 is my favorite bet in the first round.
Yeah, I love it too. I would even look at it outright. And I was a little surprised. I know it's very early, but a lot of wagers on Michigan early on. So you definitely want to be on the other side of that. But you brought up the turnover thing. That, to me, is the biggest thing.
Yep.
It is the worst thing Michigan does offensively, and it's the best thing San Diego does defensively. And you flip it, and it's the same situation. It's the worst thing that Michigan does defensively. It's the best thing that San Diego does offensively.
Yeah.
It's one of those four factors that Ken Pom touts all the time that decides basketball games. And this is one of the biggest disparities that you're going to find in any first-round matchup.
And this is why I say I think it's made for TV stuff, because if you had to, like, put a gun to my head and make me take a 10 or lower seed to the Elite Eight, it is UCSD. And I think they handed them the easiest first-round matchup that they finally could. Like, here's your gift. Go get it.
Yep.
All right, that's all I got for that game. It's my favorite play of the week.
Yep.
UNCW Texas Tech, I got nothing for you laying 15.5.
Can't do it.
But I will say we'll do our Final Fours before we get out of here. Texas Tech is a very legitimate Final Four threat.
Sure, yeah.
All right, on to Friday. Baylor and Mississippi State. What's our one rule? I think Friday is going to go a little quicker, by the way, than Thursday, because I just don't have the plays.
Yeah.
What's our rule?
We fade in the bottom of the SEC.
That and... we do not bet on teams from the state of Mississippi.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Baylor, +1.5, hammer.
I have that play log too. I really like this. I know this is flipped. I think Mississippi State entered as a dog, finished as a favorite. And Baylor, like, the really intriguing thing to me is, like, who are some of these under-the-radar freshmen that are going to step up in this tournament? And unfortunately, I think his time gets cut short. But I think this is one of the games where we see VJ Edgecombe really – come to the forefront. He's the number two rated draft prospect in the tournament right now, only behind Cooper Flagg. Like, that's how talented he is. He's going to be one of those third or fourth guys off the board in the NBA draft this year. When you have a guy like that, I really value it, especially in these 8-9 matchups. And I think the just like coaching advantage too. You're talking about Scott Drew versus Chris Johns, and Chris Johns, I think, is a good coach. I think Scott Drew's a great coach.
Yeah.
And
national championship winner.
Yeah, so give me the Baylor team that's getting points in an 8-9 matchup.
Totally with you. Couldn't agree more. Bama, Robert Morris. Robert Morris is getting 23.5 points. I'm a freak. I'm a sicko. I watched the Horizon League tournament. Robert Morris can and will get beaten inside. They hit a few lucky shots to even make the Horizon League title game. They were down big to Oakland pretty late and just hit some lucky threes. 23.5 points, you got to be out of your mind if you're laying it with Bama. My advice, if people just want to have action on every game for whatever reason, you want to bet beer or pizza money on stuff, Bama might be some free money here. I'm just not in the business of laying 23.5.
I will say this, though. Ken Pom has it as a 20-point disparity. Lions giving you 23.5.
A little value on the Colonials,
yeah,
per so. Ken Pom. I'm good on it. I'm also now, you can have the time you need.
Okay.
Iowa State, Lipscomb. Lipscomb's getting 14.5 points. That's a without Keyshawn Gilbert line.
Yes. One of their most important players. He is going to be out for the entire tournament. And I view this Lipscomb team as a team that's being slept on. You're talking about a team that is top 100 in both offensive and defensive efficiency in the tournament. They're seventh in the nation in free throw percentage as well. We talked about it. Free throws are currency in this thing.
Yep.
And especially when you're going to give me 14 and a half, I think Lipscomb could be one of those hot shooting teams. This is really the only 14-3 that I'm looking at that I'm giving a lot of credence to. There could be a legitimate upset here.
Iowa State didn't end the season well without Gilbert.
Yeah.
It was, I think, intelligent on their part, especially after what we heard from the committee about West Virginia, to delay the Gilbert news until after the bracket was out, because it got them a more favorable matchup than I think they maybe otherwise would have gotten, since we now know player availability is a factor. Maybe they just would have been left the fuck out. I can't bet it. I would like to take Lipscomb. Maybe Iowa State's good enough to just keep being who they are. TJ Otzelberger's done a great job. The kid Mumsilovich is healthy again. So while they are lost Keyshawn Gilbert, they're actually getting healthy elsewhere. I don't know what to do with it. I'm going to watch and learn. I think Iowa State-Ole Miss potential second round game is fascinating if it happens. It's one of the few middle-of-the-pack, lower SEC teams that I'm kind of in on just because of the draw. But for this game, I got nothing.
I'm going with Lipscomb. I like the 14.5.
Are we going to both do what's necessary when we have a theory game in the NCAA tournament? I think
we are.
Memphis, the 5 seed, is a 2.5-point dog to Colorado State, the 12 seed. The 12 seed is favored over the 5. On its face, it's an automatic Colorado State fire. When you dig into the reason why Memphis doesn't have their point guard going into the tournament, and I know it's like, well, he's questionable, he could play. I'm sorry, it's Tuesday and the line's still -2.5 to Colorado State. Yeah. Tyrese Hunter ain't playing in this game.
Have you also heard the theory that the committee fucked up and accidentally swapped Memphis and Louisville's seed?
I have not.
Like, Memphis is a 5 seed.
Yeah,
they're 51st in KenPom.
It's incredibly
like, overseeded. When you look at the neighborhood of teams that are seated near them, everyone's a 10, 11, or 12.
Remember when they told us the AP poll doesn't matter? Memphis lived in the top 25 in the AP poll. We were told that doesn't matter. But if you're banking on the seeding here, I would say it does.
Yeah.
No, I couldn't be more in on Colorado State. You give me Memphis sans Tyrese Hunter as a dog, as a 5 seed, I'm in.
Yeah. And you brought up the T-Ranketology too from Bart Torvik. Since February 15th, Colorado State is the 8th ranked team in the entire country.
They've been awesome.
And I know the Mountain West usually does not perform well in this tournament. However, I do think a team like Colorado State, who's very well coached with Nico Medved, I think this is the run that Colorado State actually could make, and it gets Nico a job somewhere else.
If Memphis were healthy, I would not feel this way, but they're not. It's just,
they also shouldn't be a 5 seed.
Yeah.
They're the most overseeded team in the tournament.
It's a crazy overseed. They're not healthy. This is the worst time to lose your point guard. You lose your point guard in the middle of the conference season, I can live with it. You lose your point guard going into the tournament, I think you're dead.
Yeah.
I'm all over Colorado State.
I'm with you.
Vanderbilt, St. Mary's. St. Mary's is laying 4.5. You have one job to do. You got to tell me why I have to navigate through my phone and bet on your Commodores.
All right. Vanderbilt is the only bottom of the barrel SEC team that I respect in this tournament. The only one. And it's because of the wins that they accumulate over the course of the season, specifically late in the season. You end the season with wins against Ole Miss, A&M, Mizzou. Like, those were three of your final wins that you had in the season. And then you also have a win against Kentucky. You've got a win against Tennessee this year. You've played as well against your competition in your conference than anyone else, it felt like. And then on top of that, too, like, this Vandy team is just really, really frisky. And St. Mary's didn't impress me a whole heck of a lot, especially in that WCC title game where they just got choked out by that Gonzaga defense. Like, St. Mary's was living in like the 70s for most of the time throughout the season. They play a game in the 50s to close out the season against the Zags.
Yeah.
To me, Vandy, I think, just played it in a tier up and actually punched back in that SEC. I respect them a hell of a lot more than I do Texas, a hell of a lot more than I do Oklahoma, a hell of a lot more than I do Mississippi State. I'd even throw Ole Miss in there as well. I think this Vanderbilt team is the only legitimate team out of the bottom of the SEC.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think part of my Gonzaga gets this weird bump metrically. And I think we're maybe learning that even KenPom has flaws and blowouts might be favored a little more than they should. The net, certainly. Maybe blowouts are weighted a little more than they should. Nice. And St. Mary's doesn't get the same bump despite playing in and winning the same conference as Gonzaga. I think it says a little bit more about the West Coast Conference than a lot of people are willing to admit, that maybe it just wasn't very good this year.
Yeah.
And Vandy played in a juggernaut and, like you said, punched well, played a little bit above their weight class. I like Vandy too. You've talked me into them.
Mark Byington too, their head coach of James Madison from a year ago. And that's a team that's pulled upsets in the tournament.
Yeah.
And this wouldn't be the magnitude of like a 12-5 like they did to Wisconsin, but it gives me a sense of, all right, this guy's done it. He's been in tournament games. He's going to know how to navigate, especially when he's working with a double-digit seed.
We're getting there, guys. We're almost done. Grand Canyon, Maryland. Terps laying 10.5. Are we going to war? This could be a potentially you versus me thing.
I'm not playing the game. I actually don't have any strong feeling.
Are you not playing it because you like Maryland, or are you not playing it because you can't bring yourself to do what must be done?
No, like, if you made me bet the game, I would take Grand Canyon. But Maryland is a damn good... Like, I just think Maryland's too complete. Like, they're too complete offensively, defensively, especially the way they played down the stretch. From February 15th on, top 10 team. Like, once they figured out, hey, we should really only play five guys, it's a team that reminds me a lot of what Villanova was a couple years ago when they went to the Final Four. Just bunch of guys, five guys, five starters, just dogs. Play hard as shit for 40 minutes, and you're going to play 40 minutes, a lot of you. Yeah. Derek Queen seems like one of those guys who's going to see his draft stock really rise, like maybe go from being a fringe lottery pick to firmly inside like the top seven. I think he could do that in this tournament. To quote his coach, Kevin Willard, if he was white and European, we'd be looking at him as the number one overall pick right now. Amazing quote.
It's fantastic.
And maybe true too. Anyway, I look at what Maryland has done, their total body of work, especially from what they've done in February and on. They are one of the 5-7 best teams. They are Final Four good. I think this region as a whole really got fucked because I think there's four teams I would like to put in the Final Four this year in their region that just can't all get to the Final Four because they have to all run into each other at some point.
Yeah, the South is fucking brutal.
It's legit just team after team after team. It's just so good. I think you can say that about the East, and I think you'd say it about the South.
I'm going to take Grand Canyon. I'm going to take the 10.5.
Okay.
And it part of it is, yes, they made a run a year ago. They got on people's radar. A part of that is also getting on people's radar got them talented transfers.
Yeah.
There are five power conference transfer players on Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
This isn't a low major that's loaded with nobodies. It's a for-profit school. They've got the money. And I think, frankly, it's another example of a Big Ten team just getting fucking hosed. This was a year where I really was ready to kind of embrace the Big Ten and send some teams through. And then they all drew, like, the most unimaginably bad matchups.
Matchups and paths, too.
With the exception of Michigan State and Illinois, I don't think any team in the Big Ten has a favorable path to the second weekend.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's not easy what the Big Ten drew this year. I feel bad for them. I genuinely feel bad.
I do too. And because they're going to once again, oh, you can't put all these Big Ten teams in. They don't even get out of the first weekend.
This is not the year to do that.
It's not their fault, dude. They drew horror show matchups.
Yeah.
I'm not even saying Grand Canyon can win. It's just you give me 10.5 points, I think Grand Canyon can keep within that.
Yep.
Norfolk State, Florida. Florida's laying 28.5. You got to be out of your fucking mind. Yep. Although Florida might be the best team in the country right now. So if there were any team you wanted to lay a billion points with.
I'm not saying they're UConn, but are you getting any sort of like UConn type of vibe with them from the UConn team from a couple years ago where they were just clearly the best team and they're not being credited as the best team? heading into the tournament, and then they go out and won it, and they won the whole thing. And I think you could see that maybe with this Florida team. Like, dude, they're just the best team right now by a landslide, I think.
I kind of feel that way, but it's March, man. And I don't think there is – I can't say by a landslide. I don't think any of these teams are what UConn was a year ago, where they had guys who stayed.
No, I don't think – yeah. But I think they're like Caravan. The closest thing to that.
Yeah, that's in probably this tournament. True. But I just –
maybe you could throw Duke in there too, but –
the other thing I'll tell you, last year I didn't think the top seed lines were anywhere close to this good.
No.
It was UConn and everyone else. Yeah, yeah, this year the top probably 8 to 12 teams are really close together. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like if you made me pick a tournament champion today unbiased, it would be Florida, mm-hmm. to answer your question. But I have nothing on this game. UNM Marquette, another one of my favorite plays. Little Patino gets the playbook from Big Patino.
Yep.
Shaka gags again. UNM, if you want to take him outright, go ahead. I'm taking the 3.5 points because I don't want to get fucked.
Learn the name Donovan Dent, because that's a guard that's going to, I think, give this Marquette team a lot of issues. It's one of the best guard matchups you're going to find in this tournament. Donovan Dent going up against Cam Jones, two of the best players you'll find in the tournament. I just think that what New Mexico can do defensively, I mean, you're talking about a team who is coming out of the Mountain West, but they're a top 20 defense. And I think the defense in this tournament is so, so critical. And when you've got a lead guard like Donovan Dent, who can get you averages over 20 points a game, like that's a guy who, that's the perfect formula. You've got a lead guard, scoring guard, who can get a bucket for you at any given time, and you've got a defense that I think will travel. So I really like this Marquette team, or this New Mexico team. Even though Marquette's going to have the travel advantage with it being in Cleveland, you'll get a lot of Marquette fanfare there, but I think that this New Mexico team is too tough for them.
I'm with you. Kentucky, Troy.
All right, tell me about this one, because I kind of wrote this one off as like, oh, I'm just going to push the three through.
Current spread is a 10.5, 11.5, depending on where you look. 10.5 or 11, I should say. Mm-hmm. I think Troy's live to win it. You've got one of the 10 best, nay, one of the 6 best offensive rebounding teams in the country in Troy. You've got a team that will turn you over. Top 10 in steals forced. They're a press defense. They're not terribly efficient, but they are really good at stopping you from scoring from the field. Top 30 in effective field goal percentage against, which part of that is the free throws.
Yeah.
Maybe not here. They're pretty much middle of the pack in free throw rate against. So knock it out. They don't let you hit threes. They don't let you hit twos, especially inside. They have a lot of size for one of these smaller conference schools, top 100 in height. Not experienced, but that can actually angle in. They're a little too dumb to know better. And Kentucky, is it me or was Kentucky a little hot this year? They're running a little hotter this year than I thought they would. First year with Mark Pope, mass exodus of players. They're a very good team, but they don't play defense. They're relying on getting to 90 points. I think if Troy can limit them from doing that, they have a chance to win this game.
The only problem is I don't think Troy is good enough offensively. Like, I think I've talked a lot about how defense is so critical with some of these bigger teams, but I think that's more for like these high major top seeds. Sure. I feel like when you're a mid major, you need defense or you need offense. You need to just be an explosive team. This team's 330th in the country in 3-point shooting. Like,
which is interesting because they're top 60 in 3-point attempts.
Just blindly firing.
One of two things happens. They're either going to jack them up 35 times, miss, you know, what, 25 of them or more. They're going to jack it 40 times and miss 35.
Ayo.
Or they're going to have the best day of their season and Kentucky's going home. And again, I'm not sitting here saying bet Troy money line, like put your mortgage on it and let's fucking ride. We're going to make a killing. Just
retire today.
If you're looking for one of these lower seeds to upset somebody, I think Troy's alive. There's a chance they have their best day. I've seen other people saying this is a team that profiles, especially on the offensive glass and the steals. Those are two things you got to have if you're going to be an upset profile team.
I just feel like Mark Pope, he's led steady BYU teams in the tournament. This is a team that's seventh in experience, and there's a lot of tournament experience on this team. Some guys that have played in Final Fours. I have a hard time believing that Kentucky will lose the game outright. But listen, if you gave me a different, like if this was Lipscomb going up against Kentucky, I would be all over a 10.5 because I think offensively they'd be enough to get over the top. I just don't know if this Troy team has enough offensive firepower.
I'm going to take it. I might be walking into something. It's part of my theory in the tournament. I'm not going to lay points with big favorites, and I kind of want to be on dogs, especially in the first two rounds.
Yeah. No, like I wouldn't play Kentucky in this game. I would never touch it.
By the way, if you're wondering where Auburn, Duke, Ole Miss, Illinois are, we don't have opponents for them yet, so we'll figure that out. We'll get to that a little later in the week. Three more games by my count.
All right.
Akron, Arizona, I got nothing. Arizona's laying 14.5. I'm good. Yeah. Akron's a little feisty.
I would actually play Akron if I had to do anything here. They won the MAC. John Gross is a coach who's been in tournaments before at a couple different programs at Ohio, at Illinois. They've got a good offense. They're just a good shooting team across the board. I have no idea what to think of Arizona either.
So, they could make the Final Four and they could bow out very early.
Yeah.
Both things are true.
I think Tommy Lloyd has brought some stability to the program. We kind of talked about how Gonzaga's been on that run, 9 straight Sweet 16s, which is incredible.
Yeah,
Tommy Lloyd was kind of an engine for a lot of Gonzaga's success. He's made the Sweet 16 three of his 4 years at Arizona so far. So Tommy Lloyd, I think, is a really good coach. But I think that...
Less sweaty than Sean Miller, too.
Hell of a lot less sweaty. 14.5 was the number on this game. I would probably bet Akron with the points, but I think Arizona advances.
If you're into Arizona, look at the futures market. They're plus 850 to make the Final Four. If you feel like Caleb Love's going to have a good tournament, they're in a really good spot to do that.
And you know what? I think that if they end up playing Oregon in the next round too, like, I think you'll see some Big Ten favoritism in that line. Pounce on Arizona then.
I agree. Oregon, we'll get to in a moment. That's a weird team. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma, UConn. UConn's laying 4.5. Here's my dumb big brain stat, because I know I hate the bottom of the SEC, but I also know 9 seeds win these matchups 2/3 of the time. And I don't know what the fuck UConn is. Yeah. Is Aiden Mahaney a Division I basketball player or not?
He's one of those guys. I thought he was going to come into UConn and just be a pain in the ass for the entire Big East. He has been far from it.
He's not good.
I thought he was going to be the next guy that came in there and just wreaked havoc on the entire country, and he just hasn't been there.
There's a part of me that just wants to fire Oklahoma money line. You played in a gauntlet. You've got Porter Moser. You're getting the weakest UConn team in probably 3 seasons. Aiden Mahaney, I don't know if he knows that he plays Division I basketball. Like, you're getting all of these things. But the problem for me is, where I don't believe Kansas has the switch, I'm not convinced UConn doesn't.
Yeah.
And if Mahaney does flip the switch and you get Alex Caravan that you expect to have, like, if all of the things work out right, UConn could just fuck around and go to the Final Four.
Yeah, like solo ball could be their version of what Dante DiVincenzo was for Villanova, where he's not the best player on the team. He's not the top dog, but he is a quintessential role player that'll keep you alive. And if he does that, I mean, he's one of those guys who could have a little run here and see his draft stock really pump up.
The other side of it, and this is why it's a full stay away, and I probably would only bet Oklahoma, Dan Hurley could have a full-blown crash out, and this team could just fucking fall apart.
Yeah.
So it's a just stay away for me. All right, Oregon Liberty. Oregon's laying 7.5. I can't help you. Oregon, if you look at them, like, if you watch them.
You skipped one.
We'll get to it. It's fucking Action has it as the second to last, and every other app I look at has it at the last. I don't know when the hell my team plays, frankly. Oregon Liberty, Oregon, if you watch them, not impressive, especially. Like, they're not bad, they're just not good. They kind of do everything well and nothing bad, but they don't excel at anything. Like, I don't know what to do with them. Liberty could walk in here, hit 33s, and tell you goodnight.
The funniest thing about Liberty is they're 5th in three-point shooting in the country. They're 13th in two-point shooting in the country. They're 348th in free throw percentage.
Jesus Christ.
Like, how does that add up? I don't get it.
But it's the same thing with a team like, you know what? That makes me actually, I might just bet Liberty. Because I was just going to say, it's the same thing with a team like Michigan State that spent the entire season basically top 15 in free throw shooting, but couldn't shoot from distance, and then just made a lineup tweak, and suddenly they're shooting 37% from three. So it's, for me, kind of like, why not just assume that the free throw shooting comes back a little bit?
Or are they getting
lucky from the field? I'll be honest with you, I haven't watched a ton of Liberty.
I would say this. I've watched a good amount of Oregon lately, and I just think Nate Biddle is – you're going up against the 347th
pain in the ass
height team in the country. You've got a 7-footer and Nate Biddle on the other side for Oregon, who, when he gets going, flat-out wins games for Oregon.
Yeah.
And can make it convincing at times for Oregon.
There is no Zach Edey in this tournament. There are a couple candidates for, like, Diet Coke Zach Edey. And Biddle's one of them. I think Ryan Kalkbrenner's one of them. Yeah. Like, there are guys who can get you through these early matchups. Kalkbrenner maybe less so because they have a real opponent.
Yeah.
But, yeah, your point is well taken. I'm going to stay away completely.
Yeah, I'd stay away from it.
Final game on the slate, Bryant, Michigan State. You can call me biased.
There's no way you're betting a two. The only 215 you're betting is your own team laying a hammer.
It's only because I think so little of Bryant. Dude, when I saw...
Oh, you're going to be in for a world of pain this March.
I know. No, but I'm not doing it. I know better than to lay a wood with my own team. But when I saw the Bryant draw, and then I started going through their scouting report stuff and reading up on them...
Hop, no, they're a joke.
Hop in the fucking cannon, guys. Like, thanks for fucking coming. You gave us a run and gun. You gave the number 5 defense in America a run and gun team that plays no defense of their own. They come on.
Yeah.
This is where I say if MSU bows out early in this draw, just retire. But I'm not betting 17.5. I can't lay 17.5 points in March.
Giddy Potts is not walking through that door. Reggie Upshaw is not walking through
that
door.
You're a fucking asshole. I'm getting out of here. That's a pick a side pot. No. Fuck. Why would you do that?
I'm just saying. No, like, I'm with you. Like, Brian is terrible. Like, that Middle Tennessee State team had some dudes on it.
Can we just do our Final Fours, please?
Yeah.
What are you doing to me? Next, you're going to be like, well, at least you're not a 3 seed and you could get a Division III walk-on to fuck you over like yours did. What
the greatest year.
Eric, he's a terrible friend.
I'm just, yeah, I'm here to remind you of the bad times so that when you'll appreciate the good times a little bit more.
And Potsy thinks we're mean to him. all right, Final Four picks.
All right.
Are we just going off our brackets here? How do you want to
do it? Yeah, I mean, that's how I'll do it. I will say this. I do think Michigan State is the best, like, top, like, 2-3 seed value to get to the Final
Four. Oh, you're getting 5-1 on.
You're getting 5-1 on Michigan State. It's the only, like, it's the only thing that bracket release I've bet as a Final Four team.
And I was going to say, like, it might sound like bias, but you get 5-1 odds on Michigan State because they're in the same region as Auburn. There is a very good chance that they won't play Auburn.
Yeah.
So not that I'm saying Auburn's going to lose. It's just a lot of things have to go right for you to get Michigan State as a huge dog in the Elite Eight game if they get there.
Can I say this, too, about Auburn's path? Like, if and again, this is a big on if Louisville gets through. But if you have Louisville getting through, I would look at a Louisville over Auburn upset. That place is going to be all Cardinals fans in Lexington, Kentucky. Auburn may have gotten the number one overall seed. They got absolutely shafted on the path.
I wouldn't bet Auburn Final Four with your money. I have a theory that Auburn was simultaneously rewarded for having the best season of anyone in college basketball and punished for finishing that season like shit because they gave them the number one overall seed. They also gave them significantly the most difficult bracket.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the same region as Michigan State, Texas A&M, Michigan, Iowa State, again, pre-Gilbert. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. That is a brutal path. And your second weekend team is the winner of Louisville and Creighton? Get the fuck out of here.
You could face a 12 seed potentially that is 36th in Ken
Yeah, Palm. You get the most dangerous 12 seed and the winner of an 8-9 where both teams are underseeded. Like, mm-hmm. this, it's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, even like we can shit on North Carolina all we want. Like, they were hot to end the year. I would not want to see North Carolina, a North Carolina team that the team that's playing with house money when you get into the tournament like that usually does a little bit of damage.
If Michigan stays hot, you're looking at a team with twin towers down low that's white hot.
Yeah.
There's, and again, it's the tournament. In March, you're going to play good teams. There are no easy matchups. But boy, did Auburn get the railroad here.
Yeah. And they easily have the worst path of any of the one seeds.
All right. So, Final Fours. I've been listening to you too much because I don't have Duke.
Oh, all right. Neither of us do.
You've been saying neither Duke or Auburn will make the Final Four. Part of it's like, it's just not any fucking fun to send the best team through.
I will say, if you want to win your pool this year, do not put Duke in your Final
Four. No, absolutely not.
And that's assuming Duke doesn't win it all. If Duke wins it all, you're fucked. But
yeah, but if Duke wins it all, you're going to share the pot with 50 other people.
Then you're grinding these second and first round games too much. They're going to mean too much.
I have Michigan State in the South because I'm biased. I have Alabama in Duke's region, the East or the Midwest? Which one is that?
They are the East.
I have Alabama in the East. I actually have Arizona upsetting Duke in the Sweet 16, and then an Arizona-Alabama showdown in the Elite Eight. Tennessee in the bottom right and Florida in the bottom left.
All right. I got, I'm with you. I'm unbiased and I have Michigan State making it out of the South. Out of the East, I like Alabama. I'm matching you there. I've got a Bama Duke matchup and I think Bama gets through. I like Houston a lot. I think this Houston team is very reminiscent to 2019 Virginia, where some disappointing years.
It's like four straight years of saying this.
Well, no. The reason why I think they're like 2019 Virginia, not 2018 Virginia, the three-point shooting team on this Houston roster is incredible. Like, they are a top 10 three-point shooting team. That's something they have not had in recent memory. So I like Houston to get all the way through the Final Four. I do have them going up to Tennessee. That's the Elite Eight matchup I'm most confident in having, actually, is Houston against Tennessee. I really like Tennessee's path to the Elite Eight. I think they actually have the most favorable path to the Elite Eight. And then I'm going Florida out of the South region there.
My national champions, Michigan State. I'm biased.
You're biased. As an unbiased person, I'm going Florida. Florida-Houston title game.
I'm going to tell you a quick story about Houston, then we'll get out of here. Okay. I have Gonzaga beating Houston in the round of 32 because Mark Few makes Sweet 16s. And I think you got the most viciously underseeded team in the tournament. A top 10 KenPom and net team that is an 8 seed is unfucking fathomable. It's not like I think that highly of Gonzaga, but basically Houston's walking into a team that should be a 2 or a 3 in almost any other year in the fucking round of 32. It's just that scares the shit out of me. The other thing is, a couple years ago, 3 years ago maybe? Yeah, 3 years ago, I had a 50-1 ticket on Houston to win the national championship. They made the Final Four. They were the favorite. What happened? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I make a habit out of these. They were the favorite. I had 50-1. Get the fuck out. They don't even make the national championship game.
Kansas that year?
Yep. Last year, I rode him through to the Final Four, championship game again. What does Kelvin Sampson do? Get the fuck out. I'm sick of it. I can't do it with Kelvin Sampson anymore. I'm done. And if he wins it this year, there'll be nobody more angry than me because I've supported that team so much over the last half decade, and all they've done is let me down.
I did exactly that with Gonzaga for years.
And then?
Exactly that, and they've never won it.
Thank God Scott Drew.
I will say this, to counter the Sweet 16 thing from the Zag side, Houston's made the Sweet 16 the last 5 years. So they're kind of building that streak up right now.
Something's got to give.
Yeah. So
maybe the Mark Few streak's likelier to break because it's just longer, but it's still, there were missed tournament years in there too, right? Because what, since 2011
for Gonzaga?
It's 9 straight, but since 2011, well,
it's 9 straight. They've gotten through because they did, once they put the first 4 in, all of a sudden they go, oh, they were eliminated in the third round, which is really the second round.
Oh yeah, fucking,
it's fucking stupid.
All right, well, that'll do
it. That's a marathon.
This marathon episode of Pick a Side. If you stuck with us the whole way, we appreciate you. Good luck to you betting in the tournament. Always be responsible, and we appreciate any like, review, message, subscribe, whatever you want to do. YouTube, it's available for you. Subscribe there. Leave us some comments. Let us know your thoughts. All of it. It helps us out. We appreciate it. Thank you, as always, for listening.